It is so wonderful to see so many people here this morning, and I just want to extend my welcome to you all. It's lovely, and it's looking like it's going to be a beautiful, sunny rest of the day, so let's hope the sunshine stays. And for those of you who don't know me, I'm aware that there's lots of people in the room I recognise, but there's lots of people that I don't necessarily recognise or haven't spoken to. So I am Esther Dauncey, and my husband and I and our four children have been at this church for the last 7 years. It's where we call home, we are part of the family here, and we love being here. And if you have been with us over the last 2 weeks, you'll know that we have been looking back at how we began as a church, sort of where our foundations were from and what us as a church kind of believe and why we do things the way we do them. And then we were looking forward at what we believe God is calling this church into for the next season, that kind of for us as the whole body. And today we're going to kind of look at where we feel God is taking us actually as individual. Where are we heading as individuals, body parts of the body of Christ? And so we've spoken about already, but really exciting, Francisco is going to be baptized later today. And baptism is this brilliant, beautiful sign of what God has already happened internally for Francisco, what God already has been doing when he said yes to following Jesus. But baptism isn't the end of his journey. He doesn't become a Christian, get baptized, and then that's it. No, like Ben said a few weeks ago, he was talking about, you know, that kind of the idea of Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, that we get the golden ticket, we know where we're going, we've got a hope for the future, that's it. That's not the case at all. Actually, when Francisco said yes to following Jesus, he said it was an invitation to follow Jesus, not just in that moment, but actually for the rest of his life. One of my favourite things I get to do here at Jubilee is that I get to serve on the youth team. And this term at Deeper, we have been doing a series, and it was called Grow Up. That's what we've been doing. And we've been looking at this idea that we can grow old, but not grow up. And that the same can be true of us. We can become an adult and still act like a child, but we can grow up. We can be a Christian for a long time, but actually not mature in our faiths. As it says in Hebrews, that we can continue living on spiritual milk. And I was thinking this week, you know, we had some really good food days this week. We had Pancake Day and Valentine's Day, kind of an excuse to, like, eat really good things. And I was thinking, what a shame it would be if we couldn't experience all those amazing, yummy things. And it's the same with us in our faith. If we stay on spiritual milk, we're missing out on a whole other part of good things that God has for us. And in youth, we've been using Ephesians 4, verses 11 to 16 to look at this point. It says, "So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves, and blown here and there by every wind of teaching, and by cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. For him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work." Paul is telling us that we need to become the mature body of a Christ, attaining the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. How do we do this? How do we mature in Christ or continue maturing in Christ? I'm going to try and dig into that today. Let's just pray. God, we so want to be your mature body so that we can do your works, so that we can know the fullness of Christ. Lord, I pray that you would be speaking to us today, that you would be nudging us, that you would be showing us how we can be maturing spiritually so that we can be working as your hands and feet in the world. Amen. A few weeks ago, I started listening to a fascinating book. It's a book called Breathe, and it's all about the fact that we don't necessarily breathe properly. Who knew? Apparently, breathing is not just about getting oxygen into our body and carbon dioxide out of our body. Actually, in this book, it goes on to tell you how breathing, if we do it in different ways, depending if we breathe through our mouth or our nose, and how fast or slow we breathe, actually has amazing health benefits. It has fitness benefits. And actually, some people, in learning all their different techniques for breathing, have been able to freedive. So this is what freedivers do. They learn all these practices and disciplines of breathing in a particular way, so much so that people are able to freedive, so that the lowest depth that people freedive to is 436 feet. Isn't that incredible? So from learning how to use your breath properly, they are able to dive all that way down. And the guy who writes this book talks about the fact that these people were just ordinary people, but they spent time practicing and learning the disciplines of how to do all these different things with their breath. And as I was listening to this book, I was like, oh, that's such a picture for us as Christians. You see, when we say yes to Jesus, when we become Christians, we all have the Holy Spirit living in us. Like all humans breathe, all Christians have the Holy Spirit. It tells us in the Bible, it says in Ephesians 1 verse 13, it says, when you believed, you were marked with him a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. We all as Christians have the Holy Spirit in us. But there are disciplines, there are practices that we can press into that enable us to go deeper, that enable us to know God in a deeper way. But it takes practice and discipline. And like the divers who were just normal people, us as normal Christians, as normal people, we can go deeper with God in a different way if we're prepared to practice. And the invitation to us all here today is that there is more, there is deeper. It's an invitation to a lifelong journey to attain the fullness of Christ. Stuart beautifully vision cast over the last 2 weeks about where as Jubilee we'd come from and where we're heading as regard to church building over the last 2 weeks. And today I'm hoping to cast a little bit of a vision what it looks like to be a church which is totally committed to maturing in our faiths, to be a church which is transformed into the likeness of Jesus, to be a church that is maturing to know the fullness of Christ. So like Stuart did where he started at the beginning, I thought we would start by looking back, by looking to the start of Jesus' ministry, where it all began. So we're going to look at Matthew 4, verses 18 to 21. And it says, as Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. At once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left their boat and their father and followed him. Can you imagine being one of these disciples? This story, this that we read in the gospel, is actually in a few of the gospels, and I would encourage you, go look at the different accounts of this story, because we also hear about in the other gospels the fact that actually, Peter and Andrew had been out all night fishing and hadn't caught any fish. They must have been exhausted. Imagine going to your job and having nothing to show for it. All night fishing. So they were kind of done at this point. And we hear from another gospel how actually they're about to experience a crazy miracle. I'm not going to tell you what, because I want to encourage you to go read it for yourself. And then Jesus shows up. And now Peter and Andrew, we know that they would have heard and seen a bit of Jesus at this point, but, you know, he's not addressed them personally. And what does he say? He says, come, follow me. There is no plan, there is no agenda, come, follow me. They left everything in an instant and left with him. The disciples were not called to be Christians. In fact, at the time in the New Testament was written, Christianity was called the way. Why? Because it was following the way of Jesus. When Andrew, Peter, James, and John were called to follow Jesus, they weren't called to follow a doctrine. They weren't called to follow a list of rules. They were called to follow a person called Jesus. And he asked them by name, come, follow me. And that is the invitation we all have. Jesus is asking you, come, follow me. Because if we want to become like Jesus and be a person of love like Jesus, we need to look to see how Jesus lived, to see how he loved, how he cared. The word disciple or follower in the Bible can be translated to apprentice, which is a helpful word when we think about what that might look like when we say, follow Jesus. Because think about it, if you were going to become an apprentice, say an apprentice hairdresser, you wouldn't just get given a book of, this is how you cut hair, off you go cut it. What happens is generally you have a mentor, you have somebody that walks alongside you. And to begin with, you just watch. You watch and listen and learn. You see what they do. You watch how they interact with clients. You watch how they wash hair, how they dye the hair, how they cut the hair. And then when you're ready, maybe you start trying a few bits, all under the watchful eye of your mentor. And eventually, you become a hairdresser. And as I was thinking about this idea of apprentice, I felt Jesus saying to me that for some of us, our journey with Jesus has been less like an apprenticeship and more like an exam, where we've kind of got the book and it's all about knowing all the things in the Bible, but actually not necessarily so we can tick box the answers at the end, but not actually following Jesus. Bit of a challenge for us there. So how do we deep dive? We become apprentices of Jesus. As John Mark Comer would say, the writer, he said, we can say we're Christians, but we can fail to apprentice under Jesus. We can have faith and belief in Jesus, but not live a life that reflects him. As apprentices of Jesus, we are called to be with Jesus, to become like Jesus, to do what he did. The disciples left their old lives behind. And whilst we're not all called to leave our lives that we're currently living behind, in fact, in the Bible, Paul sort of says, stay where you were when you got saved, we are called to live our old ways behind. We need to start new lives that apprentice under Jesus in the same way that the disciples did. Because we want to become like Jesus, to do the things that Jesus did, which is actually bring the kingdom of heaven here to earth. And if you are here today exploring Christianity or on your beginning of your faith journey, can I encourage you to read the Gospels? See who this man is that I am talking about. See if he is someone who is worth following. The disciples had heard and seen a bit about Jesus before they followed him. Go and see and hear for yourself through the four Gospels. You see, we are all following something. If it's not Jesus, it's something else. As Dallas Willard says, who are you becoming? Think about that for a moment. Who are you becoming? Are you becoming a person of love? Are you becoming a person like Jesus? Because we're all being formed, whether we like it or not. What we do in our day, what we look at, who we talk to, what we give our time to, all of these things are forming us. And we are naive if we think differently. If we want to keep maturing in our faith, we need to take on all the attributes of Jesus, however difficult or countercultural. Because whether we like it or not, we're all being formed into something or someone. If it's not by Jesus, then it's by the world. Romans 12:2 says, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, perfect, and pleasing will." We are either conformed by the things of this world, the TV we watch, the news we read, the apps we go on, the people we spend our time with, or we can be transformed by the renewing of our minds to live like Jesus. Which is it going to be? Jesus later on in the gospel said, "Anyone who wants to be my disciple," it's an invitation to anyone, "but if you want to be my disciple, you must deny themselves, pick up their cross, and follow me." To apprentice under him is to take on his lifestyle and die to ourselves. Are we prepared to do the same? Are we prepared to realign our lives so they look like Jesus's? And all of our lives, not just parts. I don't know if you're like me. I'm happy with this part being like Jesus, but maybe not this bit over here. We hold little bits back. But it's all of our lives that Jesus wants. So as apprentices, we are called to be with Jesus, to become like Jesus, and to do what he did. And one of the ways we do that is through spiritual disciplines or practices. I like the word practice because generally they take practice. It's not just a one-off thing. And practices are a means to an end. We do not do practices or spiritual disciplines to give ourselves another to-do list, to earn our faith. It very clearly in the Bible says we cannot earn our faith. It is by grace we have been saved. Disciplines are there to give us space to be with Jesus and to do the things that he did so that we can become more like him. Now, there are many, many disciplines, and each of them are a sermon in themselves. So can I encourage you? One of the reasons why we say open our Bibles, read the Bibles, is because actually you can be reading the Gospels and looking to see the things that Jesus did and think, actually, how can I be putting that into my life? Investigate the life of Jesus. But the disciplines are things like reading the Bible, praying, community, fasting, silence and solitude, service, Sabbath, hospitality, generosity, gratitude. And this is an exhaustive list. As I said, go look at the life of Jesus. And wherever you are this morning, there is an invitation to do the things that Jesus did, by doing practices. And with practices, we start where we are at, not where we want to be. Building small, doable practices into our life so that we can stay in them is far better than going all in and say, I'm going to fast for a week to start off and then failing the first hurdle. Stuart said last week, it's a really difficult thing to measure spiritual maturity. But a good indicator is, are we seeing the fruits of the Spirit grow in our lives? Are we becoming more loving? Are we becoming more joyful, peaceful, more patient, more kind, more good, more faithful, more gentle, more self-controlled? If you are here and you are at the start of your journey or just interested, can I encourage you that the best place to start is with the Bible and prayer? I just want to encourage you that that is a great place to start. And if you have been pressing into those practices for a while, can I encourage us in our life groups and as the body of Christ to kind of encourage one another, talk about the way that you read your Bible, the way you pray, because different people do it a different way and it can just encourage us. And if we tweak a few things, actually, it enables us to see God in a different light sometimes. But you might have been here as a Christian and actually you're deep diving, you are on your way down, and I want to champion you and encourage you, saying keep going, there is always, always more. Keep pressing in. But there might be some of us here as Christians who feel a bit stuck, feel like not sure what direction to go in, not sure what should I be doing, where should I go next. And I'm really aware that talk is easy. As one of my children highlighted to me this week as we were doing a little Bible study on why we shouldn't believe certain lies, and there was this list at the end that sort of said, and do this, and do this, and do this, and pray this, and all be fine kind of thing. And she just turned around to me and bluntly said, Mummy, I think the people in this book are perfect, because actually these feel really hard to me, and I can do these things, but actually it doesn't always happen like that for me, and actually to do those things is really hard. Like, you know, it's written down there, but actually, and I just thought, actually, she's so right, because so often we can have lists and things that are good things to do, but they feel hard. So rather than go through a whole load of spiritual disciplines and how we could and couldn't be doing them, I wanted to share with you all this morning a personal testimony in the hope to encourage you in why taking on some of these practices and looking at what disciplines we're doing actually can be an amazing thing for us and helps us to be able to do the things that Jesus did. Okay, so going back a few years, I would say I was quite a disciplined person, and I've tended to have a few good disciplines in my life, and Bible and praying and community have always been kind of foundations for me. But looking back, I got to this point where I actually wasn't becoming any more like Jesus. I wasn't becoming any more loving. And I can say that in hindsight, at the time I wouldn't have necessarily said that to you. And in this season, I knew my Bible better. I was pressing into prayer, and God in his kindness is always working in us. But these were becoming kind of slight stumbling blocks for me. And don't hear what I'm not saying. These are good things to be pressing into, but they were just, for me at that time, they were causing a bit of barrier with me and God. And it was a preach that happened here, and a conversation that I had afterwards made me realise this. If I'm really honest, and quite embarrassingly so, I don't actually think I'd ever really thought about, am I becoming more like Jesus? I was very happy to be doing more for Jesus and kind of looking good, like I was doing all the right things. And again, lots of those things are really good things, but for me it became this sort of, I'm doing things like Jesus, therefore doing these certain things, that's all fine. But I'm pretty sure that there was parts of my heart that were definitely not growing in the fruit of the Spirit. And so I spoke to the preacher after the sermon, and it was literally like God was talking to me in this moment. And as I spoke to this pastor, sort of saying, I just felt like God was speaking to me, and I realized that my value and my worth with God were all based on what I could do for him, not being with him. And through this conversation, I knew that I was being invited by God into silence and solitude. And I know Stuart has spoken a bit about this in the last, when we were looking at the book of John, about this idea of this kind of being quiet before God. And silence and solitude is not necessarily full silence, but it is this idea that it's just us on our own with God. It's not with our Bibles, it's not with our phones, it's not with other people, it's just us, our thoughts, our hearts, and bringing them to God. And this is not just for introverts, can I just say? This is for extroverts as well. I think everybody would attest to actually sitting on our own with our own feelings, thoughts, and emotions before God is a really, really hard thing. Because the idea is that we bring the deepest, darkest parts of ourselves to God. We bring our joys, our hurts, our pains. We bring all sorts of thoughts to God that maybe we don't even like to actually think about because actually they're scary for us to think about. And we're bringing them all before God. It is massively countercultural. In a world where time is so valuable and busyness is a status, to do nothing but sit on your own almost sounds crazy. If I said to my friends that I go and sit with an invisible God on my own in a room, I think a lot of them would actually think I was crazy. And I have thought in this practice that I'm going crazy at time. It has been one of the hardest things I've ever had to push into, but I felt very clearly God was asking me to do it. And so I made it a practice through tears and confusion. There are people in this church who can confirm that. I have questioned everything from, am I wasting my time? To what am I doing? What is God doing? And I actually really doubted a lot of the time if actually God was doing anything at all. And I've done this now for a long time. And I was asking God recently, what have you been doing in this time? Because I've been really confused in it. And if I'm really honest, I think going into this practice, I generally thought I was going to have a burning bush moment. I kind of thought God was going to show up in my living room and start, like, I don't know, a fire might be there. Or maybe like I'd have a moment like Elijah where like I would just hear a really clear voice. And that for me was kind of, I think, what I thought was going to happen. Hasn't happened, didn't happen, still waiting on that. But God showed me just in the last few weeks that I actually have peace. Not fleeting peace that's here today and gone tomorrow, but a deep peace. Peace about things that I would usually obsess over for days and months and some things for years. I have peace about things that I could never imagine having peace about. And some of them feel like they've been really hard things. I didn't even know I needed peace. And it's made me love and trust God more because he gave me something that I didn't even know that I needed. God knew what I needed, and I didn't. I thought I needed a burning bush. He knew I needed peace. I can say that God has moved in my life in a way that I could not have done on my own. There's nothing I could have done to change my heart for myself and the feelings that I was having. But God did that. I could have masked it externally, but actually God has moved. And I still find it incredible because I totally missed it. I was reading some very interesting things in some scientific journals about meditation, which is this secular kind of similarity to silence and solitude. And it's this idea of emptying your mind rather than bringing it to God, but just emptying your mind. And the research that's been done has shown that just 15 minutes a day of sitting in silence in this way for 2 months lowers anxiety, helps better with sleep, increases your pain threshold. The list honestly goes on. I find it just amazing that there are disciplines of God, and the same studies have been done for things like gratitude and community and fasting, where there are amazing benefits to these things, even outside of God. But with God, even more so. I find it absolutely amazing that even the secular world are seeing the fact that there are practices of Jesus that are just good for us as humans. And particularly with silence and solitude, in a world of anxiety, if we can be a non-anxious presence, that is just something quite incredible. And with experiencing peace, I've also experienced more joy and other fruits of the Spirit because I'm not carrying around so many of the burdens that can get in the way of some of those things. Jesus said in John 10, verse 10, that he came so that we can have life to the full. What if life to the full doesn't look like what we expected? What if it doesn't look like what the world would say having life to the full looks like? What if it looks like surrender? Surrendering everything in our day, our week, our months to the ways of Jesus, even when they feel awkward, inconvenient, and uncomfortable. But maybe this is the way to life to the full. the way to which the burden is light and easy. I still have a long way to go. But I find it easier loving others well when I'm not carrying around so many of my own burdens. Because ultimately, we're wanting to mature in our faith, as it said in Ephesians 4, so we can be the body of Christ, so that we can be his hands and his feet in the world. Stuart last week shared about what it was going to look like for us going forward as the collective church with this building. The fact that we've grown in numbers, the fact that the leadership feel called that God is looking, that God would like us to redevelop this site, and that will be done prayerfully and under God's guidance. It's so, so exciting. However, this building will only be used for God's glory in the best possible way if it is filled with people who are pressing into God, looking to attain the fullness of God, so that we can go out into our community, to our friends, to our family in Maidenhead, and be disciples to make disciples. We push into God not to become lovely people, but actually to live and love others well like Jesus did, so that we can fulfill Matthew 28, verse 19, where it says, go make disciples. I had a conversation with a friend going back in September about some fitness goals I wanted to achieve back in September. They didn't happen, those fitness goals. And we had a conversation about all the different things I could try and make it happen. But at the end of the conversation, she'd give me loads of advice, do this, this, and I was like, okay, okay. At the end of the conversation, she just turned around, looked at me in the face and said, but Esther, the real question is how badly do you want it? Because that will determine if you do these things or not. How badly do you want it? Now, I drove away in the car pondering this because I felt quite clearly that God was asking me the same. You see, earlier in that day, I was feeling stuck in a different area of my walk with Jesus, and I'd literally been crying out to him. Nothing. Had no response. I was just sat being like, why? And now I sat in the car with the words, Esther, how badly do you want me? It was an invitation again to go deeper, which was going to cause me to surrender another bit of my life and do other things in another way, which felt hard. But actually, I was like, how badly do I want this? How badly do I want Jesus? This is the invitation for us all today. Do we want to go deeper? Do we want to know the fullness of Christ? Or do we just want to breathe? Steve's going to come up now, and we're just going to have, as we were praying this morning in the prayer meeting, I was asking God, what is his heart for this morning? What is his heart in this message? And actually, the ultimate heart in this message was one of surrender. Are we willing to surrender our ways, our plans, our thoughts, our lives to Jesus? And so Steve is just going to play the song. Some of you might have heard it before. We use it at the tent on Tuesday. And we're just going to have this moment where, of asking God, where do I need to surrender? He might be nudging you in an area that he wants you to press in. There might be, yeah, certain practices that he wants you to take up. But ultimately, this is a moment where actually we just have this space to ask God, what do you have for me?